Ramsey TV.
Do you remember I told you that there were two Greek words? I was talking about love. Agape, of course, the love of God, doesn't take into consideration the worthiness of the object. Then there's philia, which is fondness. And I was going to bring up a point that week that I was talking to you about love, and I forgot it. So I'm going to do it right now before I get into the next topic. It's the topic of shock. Going to talk about a little bit of shock. You'll see. You'll like it. You know me. I know you. This is how we operate. I'm Martin Zender. You're at the edge of the bottom of everything, because that's where I am. We don't have to like our enemies. Thank God. I mean, you think it's hard when God tells you to love your enemies. It's like, oh, that's hard. But it's really not. You know what would be really hard? And it's so hard that God doesn't even ask us to do it. To be fond of your enemies. To filio your enemies. You don't have to. You don't have to like them. You don't have to want to send them birthday cards. You don't even have to say hello to them. I mean, it'd be nice if you would, I guess. That could be part of love. But again, love is an action, not a feeling. So you don't have to have any feelings for your enemies. In fact, for some of mine, I have a once in a while lack of feeling for them. But I can actively love them. And like I told you, and I recommend this, I pray for them. And I pray for them at night, hoping that God gives them a spirit of realization of the truth. As I always say, pray for your enemies. They need it. They need it. Now, isn't it kind of interesting that no matter how many times Jesus told his disciples and everybody else that he was going to die, towards the end of his 3.5 year ministry, he prophesied concerning his death. And what did Peter say? Far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you. The disciples, they didn't want to hear bad news. They couldn't hear bad news. Their minds were arranged against bad news. They had a filter, and I can't blame them one bit. This is their filter. The Messiah that Israel's longed for thousands of years is here. He's standing in front of you, and you know it's him because the Spirit gives you a realization that he's him. And maybe you don't know the scriptures too well. There are hints of a suffering Messiah in Isaiah. But again, these are passages no one wants to believe as they read. The suffering Messiah, Daniel, chapter 9, after 69 sevens, the Messiah will be cut off. There will be no adjudication for him. These were in the scriptures, and if you had an open mind, and if you didn't have a predisposition to see what you wanted to see in the scripture, you would be face-to-face with the troubling news that your Messiah was going to come, but that he was going to be cut off, something bad was going to happen, something in Isaiah about between two thieves, something about we despised him, he was a man of sorrows. It's like, this didn't fit a lot of people's idea of a political Messiah, because that's what Israel wanted. They wanted a Messiah on a white horse who would deliver them from Roman occupation. And of course, why wouldn't they? It's a human need. If you had a foreign power in your town, like the French did during World War II, can you imagine just going to the grocery store and there's Nazi soldiers with machine guns? Many people face this reality. It's called occupation. Their country is taken over by another country. At the time our Lord came to Israel, Judea and Jerusalem, they were occupied by the Romans. And of course, you had to behave yourself when you walked by the guy, the soldier, but then they spit, they hated him. They hated him, so they wanted a political deliverer. So Jesus comes along, and in fulfillment of the prophecy, started to foretell his death. And I think it is so strange that nobody really believed him, because after he dies on the cross, I would be gathering my friends. It's like, okay, start the clock. 3 days. 3 days. And he's going to be back. None of them did that. I mean, maybe they did. It's not recorded. But I think it just went over their heads. Because he's the Messiah, the promised one of Israel. And it's not right. It just doesn't seem right that he should die. Now, I'm going to compare this to us. today, because we're in an opposite situation, but it's just as unbelievable. You're going to like this. It's just as unbelievable what we're telling people about ourselves, what we're telling ourselves about ourselves, what we're thinking about ourselves is just unbelievable as hearing that the Messiah of Israel, the long-awaited Messiah, is slated to die. It's the last thing you would want to hear. It was the farthest thing from your realm of believability. And when it actually happened, you're shocked. I mean, that's what I'm reading. They fled, they're shocked. Even if they did start their three-day clock, if you were anywhere near that hill of death, you would be overcome, I would think. It would take you a while to get over the shock, even if you did know he was going to raise from the dead in 3 days. But again, I'm going to make a point about us. It's the incongruence. It's the incongruence of the Messiah dying. And he tells them plainly, and they don't believe it. Okay, I covered that. Now, some wild things are said about us in the scriptures. Now, we have the opposite case of Jesus Christ. He's a great one. He's the chosen of God. He's the Son of God, and he's going to die. We are nobodies. We're unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. We're just part of the wallpaper on this planet. Nobody notices us. Many people don't like us. We're certainly not celebrities. And yet, we are being groomed in front of everybody under their noses. They don't notice it. We are being groomed for our place, our future place among the celestials. We are the next aristocracy of heaven. And it's just as unbelievable that God would take weak people and really sinning people and give them the greatest award anybody could imagine. It's just as unbelievable to think that as it is to think that the great Son of God would die on a cross. Do you see? And so they didn't believe him when he said it. And who believes us when we say it? Who believes us? I mean, some of you, I know this is bold of you. I don't know if I could do this, but I really haven't done it. Some of you are like telling your friends who aren't in the body of Christ, even your family members, like, if someday I don't show up for the bridge class, this is why. I think the reason I don't tell people is because I don't want to experience the disdain. They're like, it would be just as crazy. See, it's the opposite. It would be like them saying to us, oh, far be it from you. Just like what Peter said to Christ, I'm going to have to die. Oh, no, we're not going to let that happen. Hey, I'm going to be raised to meet Jesus Christ in the air, and he's going to take me to heaven. Oh, far be it from you for that to happen. See, it's the opposite, but it's the same deal. It's this incredulity. It's like, what? What? And it's like, no matter how many times we read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17. And as I said, these are some of the plainest words Paul ever wrote. I get kind of frustrated with Paul once in a while because I think the whole book of Ephesians is a run-on sentence. I'm not sure there's any punctuation in Ephesians. Well, of course, we know that the original Greek, there was no punctuation, so I have to go kind of easy on the guy. But here, he's so clear and so plain. We who are surviving to the presence of the Lord. And I know exactly what he means. There's going to be people alive on the planet when he returns, because he's going to return on a Thursday at 2 p.m. And there's going to be people alive. It's a problem. What do we do with them? Well, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to raise the dead. Paul says this. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Thereupon, we the living who remain to the coming of the Lord will be snatched away together with them. Snatched away in an instant. Together with them to rise to meet the Lord in the clouds. I mean, it's just... It's not that it's not hard to understand. It's, like I said, a five-year-old couldn't understand it. But what does it take to believe that? What does it take to believe it? It takes a heavy-duty dose of the Spirit. It takes as much of a dose of the Spirit for you to believe what Paul says about you. It's not Paul saying it about you. It's God using Paul as a mouthpiece. It strains the faith just as much for us to think that this is going to happen to us soon. This is going to happen to us. As it would strain the faith in the first century to try to wrap your head around that the Son of God is going to be spit on, stripped, crowned with thorns, and nailed to a cross. No, no, no. Same today. No, no. Yes, yes. You see, because his crucifixion and his death and his resurrection is what purchased this for us. This is going to happen to us, for us, because of what he did. And God likes to do things that strain the faith. And again, I can't get over the fact that the weird thing is that these things are so simply stated. Like, the Messiah is going to die. You're going to be taken to heaven. You're going to defy gravity. You're going to be made immortal. You'll never be able to die again. And boom, 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 bada bing. So, I don't want us to be in a position where we, you know, have a hard time accepting, or let me say it this way. I don't want us to be in the position where we accept easily the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died. Yes, we accept that. Okay, yeah, it was tough, but it had to happen. He died. And then we get to our snatching away and we think, oh, me, how can this happen? Oh my God, I'm such an unworthy sinner. No, if you can believe that, which was a crazy thing. If you can believe that, you can believe this. It's just as improbable. It's just as unbelievable. None of Jesus' friends believed that he would actually die. Must be a figure of speech. We must have misinterpreted the prophets. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Somebody tell him to take a nap. Take it easy. Wake up. Everything will be okay. Our friends, what do they say? We're crazy. Do you remember the video I made called Psycho Boy? I'm going to link you to it down here. Psycho Boy. It's like if we actually explained to somebody what is in store for us according to the scriptures, I mean, they would think we would need analyzed. They would think we need to go to therapy. We need to have a cold compress. We need drugs. We need to start a running program or something. Just, you'll be all right. Just, you'll get over it. It's so fantastic. So my prayer at the end of this video is for God to give us a deeper realization of the truth. And I think that as I'm listening to myself talk, I think the best point I made was that if you can believe that the Son of God died on a cross and was dead for 3 days but rose from the dead, if you can believe that, I think that this is easier to believe than that. It's easier to believe that it would delight God to take losers like us and make us heaven's aristocracy. To me, that's easier to believe than the Son of God being killed. So, let that work around in your head there. And this is real. Our change is as real as the death of Christ. Don't accept one and deny the other, because this is a package deal. You see, these things are not sold separately. The crucifixion of the Son of God and your being made immortal while you stand on your 2 feet. These two events are not sold separately. They go together. One buys the other. And may God give you more and more the faith to believe it.